Good morning, family. How are all you doing today? Good. Got some responses out there. Isn't it great to worship God on this beautiful day? Nice to be in this temperature versus 100 and whatever it is out there today. But I'm enjoying the worship and the fellowship today. I want to also point out that we, as was mentioned before, we have a new brother in Christ. So I told him I would embarrass him. So James, if you'd stand up, I want to welcome our new brother into Christ. Okay. All right. It is great to be a child of God. And I thoroughly enjoyed visiting with James yesterday and sharing that sweet gospel with him. And he is really excited about being part of the body of Christ here. You'll get to meet, hopefully a little later, his son, Greg, who came last Sunday. And so you want to meet him as well. If you would like to follow along this morning, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. So you'll take your Bibles, if you will, right now, and open up to Romans chapter 12. I want to, I'm looking at the picture that I have up on the screen, and this was something that I had planned weeks ago. So unfortunately, we want to recognize the great tragedy that took place in El Paso yesterday, and then late last night, if you're not aware, there was another shooting in Ohio, and our hearts go out to these families, and we pray for them. The one that happened in El Paso was at a Walmart, so this has nothing to do with that. It's just something I'd chosen ahead of time, this picture that we're looking at here. It was not too long ago that you'll remember that this was one of the familiar sights at Walmart, where these employees wearing these blue vests with the words, "How can I help you?" in bold white letters. And when you saw these vests and you saw, hopefully, a smile on the face of the one wearing this vest, you just knew that when you ran into a Walmart employee, that it gave you the impression that they knew what they were there to do. They knew their purpose. They knew that they were there to serve you. They were there to help you. They were there to take care of you. I mean, that was their job, and if they forgot that, you could walk up to them and point to that vest and say, "I'm glad you're here to help me because this is what I need." And you could enlist the services of that employee who was there to help you. The Walmart employee is supposed to know his purpose. His purpose is to serve. So I thought that I would piggyback off of this today. Serving others and serving God is one of the purposes as a child of God that God has for you. You don't have to wear a vest to be reminded of that. You have your Bible. You can go to the Scriptures, and the Bible makes it very clear that as a child of God, God has asked you to serve others. Now, before the world was created, God said that He had this in mind. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that you are created in Christ Jesus. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, works that were even prepared beforehand for you to do. And so God has a purpose for you. His purpose is that you are to serve Him. Now, probably some of you are wondering, you're looking at this creature that's on the screen and saying, "Well, what does that have to do with service?" Well, every creature on this planet, in addition to human beings, every creature on this planet that God has made has a special area of expertise. A kid once came to me and he said, "Why did God make mosquitoes?" And I said to him, "Well, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't have all the answers. I'm certainly not somebody that studies insects and all of that. I'm not sure why He did, but I am sure that God has some purpose for them. Some animals run, some animals hop, some animals swim, some animals suck blood. That's what mosquitoes do. And likewise, when we think about it, in every creature plays a certain role on the planet based upon the way that they were shaped by God. And likewise, that is true of every human being. We were designed, uniquely designed by God, uniquely shaped by God for certain tasks. And I want to talk about that this morning. Going into another realm as an analogy, you would know that architects, when they are going to design and build a building, one of the first questions that they would ask is, what will the building's purpose be? Will it be a basketball gymnasium? Will it be a bowling alley? Will it be a church building? Whatever it is, the architect then will design the building in such a way to meet that purpose, to function as it is designed to function. And so in the very same way, God created you. He created you and He planned exactly how He wanted you to serve Him. And He molded you and fashioned you and gave you with abilities and talents and functions that would allow you to meet those tasks that He had in mind for you. David in the 139th Psalm, talking about the way that he existed in his mother's womb. And in Psalm chapter 139 and verse 13, David said, "In my mother's womb God formed my inward parts, and He knit me together." And David would go on to say in verse 16, he says, "Before I was formed," he said, "God planned out the days for me written in His book." Same is true for you today. God was there in your mother's womb. He was molding, shaping, knew exactly what kind of nose you were going to have, what kind of fingers you would have, what kind of fingerprint you would have, what your DNA would be like. He knew exactly the skill levels that you would have. He would knew the way that you'd be able to taste things and smell things and all the senses that you would have. He put all those things there, and He put you with all those unique skill sets in you and made you a little differently than He made other people. And so each of us here this morning, we were uniquely fashioned by God to function in such a way as to live out God's purpose for our lives, His plan for our lives. We were, again, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, created with individual skill sets to do the works of service that God had in mind for us. And like that Walmart employee, we are here to serve. We are here to help others along in this journey we call life. We have a job to do. We have been fashioned to function. We've been molded for ministry, some area of service. And God, what God wants us to do is to find our place of service. He wants us to find out what we are here to do, what He has in mind for us. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to begin today with the first two steps that we're going to look at. This is, by the way, a two-part sermon. So if you're going to catch the rest of the lesson, you're going to have to come back next week. We're going to look at the first two points here on the screen, the first two steps here. And then next week we'll look at steps 3 and 4. So what we're going to do this morning is talk about how that if we're going to find our place of service, number one, we have to learn about the nature of spiritual gifts. And I'm going to spend some time in Romans chapter 12 talking about the nature of spiritual gifts. And then we'll see that we also need to listen to our hearts so that we'll be able to find out what God has put on our hearts, how we can serve Him. And then next week we'll talk about launching out with our abilities and learning from our experiences. But let's begin this morning with step number one. We need to learn about the nature of spiritual gifts. First of all, you should know that every Christian has been given gifts to use within the body of Christ. No one gets left out. Every single one of us, we have gifts that God has given to us. Here in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, here's what the Apostle Paul said regarding this. He said, "God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Just as each of us has one physical body, with many body parts. And these body parts do not all have the same function. He says, so then, in Christ, we, though we are many, we make up one body. And each body part belongs to all the others. You are a body part that belongs to all the other body parts in this room. And he goes on to say at the end there, he says, also, we have different gifts according to the grace that God has given to us. And we'll read on a little bit further beyond that. But I want to stop just at this verse and talk about the nature of spiritual gifts. It is clear from these verses right here that every Christian is dealt a measure of faith. And our faith, individually, does not look exactly the same. My faith doesn't look exactly the same as your faith, nor is our function the same. But there are, and there's no such thing, though, as a faithless or functionless Christian. We all have a measure of faith. We all have a function within the body. Every Christian has something to offer the body of Christ. We need every single body part here doing its part. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But anyway, there's no reason for any of us then, as he says at the very beginning, no reason for any of us to be cocky about our faith or overconfident or arrogant about our abilities within the body. No one earns these gifts. We don't even choose these gifts. God has chosen them for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, it says that God distributes His gifts as He wills. He gives them as He chooses, as He wants to give them. And so you don't get spiritual gifts based upon how hard you work or how smart you are or any of these other things. They are a gift from God. They are an expression of God's grace to you. Did you see that up in the screen here? I've highlighted the word gifts and grace. That's it. It's a gift from God. A gift is something that you didn't earn. It's free. And it is an act of God's grace, His favor upon you. And that's why they're called gifts. You didn't earn them. They were given to you. And God gave every Christian certain gifts to be used within the body of Christ. Now, this text also lets us know that each member of the body has different gifts. Notice with me as we read on now, starting with verse 6 and then going on down to verse 8, he says we have different gifts. Different gifts, he says, according to what? The grace, that's God's favor, that He's given to each of us. He goes on to say, if your gift is prophesying, and that's simply proclaiming God's word, he says, then prophesy in proportion to your faith. He says, if your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage others. Give encouragement. He says, if it is giving, then give generously. What he's saying is, you've got the gift. He says, use it, maximize it, run it to the furthest you can, do it to the glory of God, really is the context here. So it is clear from these verses that everyone has a gift given by God. And because God loves variety and He wants us to be special, you'll find here that no single gift is given to everyone. And no one individual has all the gifts all in one person. And so if you had all of these gifts, if you were the one person in the body of Christ, and other people just had a little gift here and a little there, but you had all the gifts all in one person, then you would have no need of anyone else. You as an individual could be the body of Christ by yourself. But we know that's pretty ridiculous, right? Just as if I was to set my hand over here on the floor, and even if it flopped around, whatever, and it was a good hand, and it did everything a hand could do, it couldn't do what a foot could do. It couldn't walk. It couldn't think. It couldn't be a brain. You see, no one part of the body has all of the gifts. And that would, if we had all the gifts, that would defeat God's purpose. It would not teach us to love each other and depend upon each other. That's why we're in this thing together. We're a team. Now, another thing that you should know about the spiritual gifts is that each part of the body doing its share helps the rest of the body. It helps the whole body. Let's take a look here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says, from Christ, he says, the whole body then, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. See how they're connected? It says that those body parts held by ligaments, this grows and builds itself up in love as each part does what? Its share of the work. So your spiritual gifts were not given to you for your own benefit. Your spiritual gifts were given for the benefit of others around you. God planned it this way so that we then would need each other. When we use our gifts together, then we all benefit from the experience. If others don't use their gifts, then you get cheated. And if you don't use your gift, then they get cheated. You see, we're in this thing together. The body doesn't function properly unless, and it doesn't grow as it should unless we work together as body parts. Now, this is one of the reasons I'm talking about the significance of spiritual gifts, because you need to discover these gifts and then develop these gifts to serve God and fulfill the design that God has for your life. Doing your share with your gift also brings growth to the rest of the body. If we're not doing what we should be doing, maybe then we could look around and say, oh, that's why the body is not growing. That let's go back to the hand. The hand is not doing what it should do. And if I'm right-handed and my right hand's not doing what it should do, I could do everything else that a human could do. But if I'm right-handed and I write with my right hand and I don't have my right hand and it's not doing what it should, guess what? I'm not going to be able to sign anything. I'm not going to be able to write a check for you. I'm not going to be able to, whatever it is, I can't do what the right hand can do. I can do all the rest of the stuff, but we all need each other. And so what we need to do is recognize the nature of spiritual gifts. Let me ask you a question. Have you taken time as an individual, as you look at your life right now, have you taken time to discover your spiritual gifts? To find out what God has in mind for you, first of all, you need to learn about the nature of spiritual gifts. Now I want to go to my second point this morning. Understanding the nature of spiritual gifts is very important. There's also something that is a little elusive in this equation that we need to think about, and that is that we need to listen to our hearts. And the idea of listening to your heart this morning, that might sound a little worldly to some of you. You might be saying, Brother Roe, how, you know, listen to your heart. Well, the heart, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah chapter 7 and 17 and verse 9. The heart, however, is still an important factor in learning how you as an individual can serve God. For instance, the heart, first of all, represents the source of your motivations. Everything that you get motivated to do something, that comes from your heart. And so whether it's something that is right or something that is wrong, the heart points to what you love to do and what you care about the most. Long ago, before the flood, In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God, with His amazing power, was able to look over all of humanity. And as He looked at each of the individuals, minus Noah and his family, all the other individuals, He looked into their hearts. And what did He say in Genesis 6, 5? Their hearts were only evil continually. God was looking at the heart. And so when they had these hearts that were over only evil continually, guess what? That became the motivation behind everything that they did. And so here we have this passage. I put it up here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. That's why we're told right here, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The heart provides the motivation behind all of your actions. Anytime you've done something and maybe you've looked at it and said, well, I decided that wasn't a very good choice, that was a bad thing to do. Well, guess what? It was your heart that motivated you to do that. If it was a good thing, then you could say, hey, the heart did a good job that day. It motivated me to do the right thing. The heart provides the motivation behind all of your actions. And so you need to listen to your heart and watch your heart to see where it is guiding you, to see where it is leading you. You know, someone once said, follow your heart. I would instead say, lead your heart. Have your heart programmed by the Word of God so that your heart then will motivate you to do the right things, the things that God wants you to do. Now, something else about the heart is, the heart, according to this other passage I have here, Proverbs 27 and verse 19, the heart also reveals who you are. So the wise man Solomon here wrote in Proverbs 27, 19, he says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. The heart reflects who you are. It reflects who you truly are, not who you pretend to be, not who others think that you are, not what your circumstances sometimes will force you to be, but the heart determines why you say what you say. The heart determines why you feel the way you feel. The heart determines why you act the way that you act, all of these things. So you need to keep your heart, watch what it's revealing, listen to your heart, and make sure that you follow the right path as it leads you down that path. Now, the reason that this is important is because, given the opportunity, the heart has the capacity to respect the Lord. See, that's the beauty in all of this. God has given you a heart that has the capacity to respect Him and do what He's asking and wanting you to do. If you think I'm maybe offbeat a little bit with this, I'll take you to a passage that shows this here. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, servants, he says, obey your masters in everything you do, not only when their eye is on you and when you're trying to please them, but, he says, with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord, whatever you do, work at it, he says, with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, knowing, he says, that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward, because it is Christ, you see, that you are serving. We always think, well, it's the boss I'm serving. That's the pay. He's going to cut the paycheck for me. No, God's the one. He's the one that you're serving. Your boss is just kind of the middleman in between. You're actually serving the Lord. But I want to take a look at this now in this verse here. You see here, the heart has the capacity to respect the Lord, to fear Him, and to serve Him. And so when you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you are in tune with His Word, you can listen to your heart, and then you can find yourself serving the Lord. That's what's being said here. This is what your heart was designed to do, serve God. You were made to serve the Lord, so keep your heart with all diligence. Respect the Lord. Another thing I want us to point out about the heart is that the heart also reflects enthusiasm. It's said right here in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, he says, whatever you do, he says, do it heartily. That's with your heart, right? Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Another word for the word heart is the word passion. I like that word, passion. You know, to me, you could do something with your heart, but if your heart's not completely in it, then it's kind of, you ever done something kind of half-heartedly? But if you're really doing something for the Lord because of His magnificence, His glory, it's really hard to be okay with just giving Him half of your heart. To me, it's about passion. You want to wholeheartedly serve the Lord with all of your heart. This really is about passion. And there are certain subjects that you feel passionate about. And quite frankly, there are other subjects that you could really just care less about. And that's okay, you know. But some things you're crazy about, you're passionate about. Other things you really don't care a whole lot about. Now, what do those interests come? Where do those interests come from? Those interests come from God. Did you know that? They come from God. God had a purpose in giving you those inborn interests that you have. Don't ignore those interests. Instead, consider how they might then be used to the glory of God. God wants you to serve Him passionately, not just dutifully. We're sometimes good at that. You know, I'll mark off this box. I did that. And we kind of, that's my duty. That's good. And that's a good place to start. But ultimately, He's going to want you to give and give your whole heart to it, to serve Him passionately. That's what God wants. You know, people rarely excel at tasks that they don't feel passionate about. They're going to have success. They're going to do something a little bit better than the norm because they're passionate about it. So listening to your heart can point to the ministry that God has for you so you can find your place of service within the body of Christ. How do you know when you're serving God from your heart? Where the first telltale sign is enthusiasm. I like that word, enthusiasm. In its origin, you know, the Greek word is theo. So in, or en, that's theo, in God. It's saying in God. It's an in God-ism, enthusiasm. It's God in you doing what God always does. He doesn't do things half-heartedly. And so He's in you operating. You get excited. Brother Mike was talking about the word hilarious, you know? That's like doing something and you're excited and happy about it in abundance. I mean, hilarious to the point that someone else looks at you and says, oh, that person's a little odd, a little strange, you know? They're just kind of going a little overboard. Hey, we can do that for God, amen? We can do that for God, amen? There's some enthusiasm, I like that. You're catching on to this idea. Do it with all your heart. When you're doing what you love to do, no one has to motivate you. No one has to check on you. No one has to spank you to do it. You do it because you love God. How much enthusiasm does God have for you? I can tell you how much enthusiasm. Not this much. He died on the cross. Jesus died. That's all the enthusiasm you'll ever need in this life is His sacrifice on the cross. And do you want to just give a little bit toward that when He's given everything for you? Do it with sheer enjoyment. You don't need rewards. You don't need applause. You don't need even a payment. You're simply doing what God made you to do, doing it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So, set your heart to serve the Lord. Listen to what He's telling you to do. Step one, learn about the nature of spiritual gifts. Step two, listen to your heart to discover and develop those gifts. And next week, we'll look at these other two points. Launch out with your abilities and learn from your experiences. As we close today, I want to ask you a question. Where are you right now? Where are you in your service to God? On Judgment Day, do you know that service to God will be a subject of discussion? Read about it sometime in Matthew chapter 25. You remember the story, Jesus talking about the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And there'll be a division. The goats are the ones that just said, it's all about me. The sheep are the ones that said, I see someone in need. Someone who needs to be clothed. Someone who needs to be fed. And when I do that, I'm not just doing it for them. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it for Jesus. Service. That will be important. Service to God will be the dividing line between two groups of people, goats and sheep. And you know, let me just tell you something. You in your life right now, you may have had some major accomplishments. Maybe you've had a great career. Maybe you've made a lot of money. Maybe you've been a success according to the world. But do you know that all of those things will mean nothing in the day of judgment. They will mean nothing. It's not about what you got. It's not about how the name you made for yourself, the riches that you acquired. Is it instead as if you were rich toward God, if you served others. Someone once told me, you can have a lot to live on and still have nothing to live for. We're living for Jesus, serving Him the best that we can. What are you living for? What are you? Are you serving God in this life? Are you doing what He made you to do? You know, when I became a Christian, I really didn't know the next step. All I knew is I needed to step into the baptistry. I knew I needed to get saved. I needed my sins washed away. I became a Christian. I didn't know the next step. So you know what I did? I came to church next Sunday. And the next Sunday. And the next Sunday. And I got myself around Christians. And I started asking them, you know, what do you think is that I can do for the Lord? How can I serve? I had no idea that I'd actually be a gospel preacher. You know, I didn't know what God had in mind for me. But I decided that I needed to do something. And I started eventually just talking to people about Jesus and meeting people. I was in the Air Force. I'd go into the laundromat there and just meet all the other guys that were in the Air Force. And I'd just talk to them over laundry, you know what I mean? And eventually I thought, maybe I should be teaching a class. Maybe I can do that. I'm a little scared of public speaking, you know, but I'll do that. And I began to teach a class and have Bible studies in the dorm and do other things. And I felt like, you know what, I think I need to do this just full time. So, long story short, I decided to get into ministry. But again, I didn't know from the very beginning. But what I'm asking you to do is to say to yourself, where am I in my service to God? Am I further along a few weeks ago than I was, you know, a few weeks ago? Am I further along today in understanding what it is that I need to do to serve the Lord? Whatever it is that you do. Figure out what you do for the Lord. Give God all of your heart. Do it with all your heart. Do it to the glory of God. If you've not come to Christ for salvation, the place to begin today is to come to Him and say, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. To do what James did yesterday. I believe that that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to repent of my sins today. I want to make sure that I start that new life. I'm going to crucify and kill that old man. I'm going to be born again in the waters of baptism to walk in that newness of life. I want to start today and then the next day and the next day I'll find what God has for me to do in life. Find your place of service if you're a Christian within the body of Christ. Find your place with regard to your salvation if you need to come to Christ today. Let's stand to sing our invitation song.
Jesus is calling for you today. Jesus, the light of the world.